Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm John Ledyard, one of your hosts from over at FanRagSports.com. And joining me today is the beleaguered. Is that a good word for you today, Trevor? Because there's been
Don't even know what that means.
You faced a lot of adversity this weekend. It means you've been through it. That's what it means. That's the best way probably for me to put it.
You know, I didn't have to watch the Florida Gators play, so all glory to God.
That's true.
You know, wouldn't have been able to get through without this right timing, this bye week from him. So very thankful for that.
Yeah, that was good timing because I'm not sure your heart could have taken it. The Bucks close loss. Malik Hooker's injury is
awful.
Devastating. You know, and just on even on a personal level for him, just feels so bad because such a fun player and an explosive player and a good player to watch. And
we got to throw this year in the trash. Got to just throw it in the trash.
We've had some good ones taken from us too soon. So, but we have a little fun lined up for today, believe it or not. Something to hopefully lift the spirits a little bit. We are going to do looking at the new updated top 10 draft order. We're going to discuss what some of the teams at the top of the draft could be considering with their pick. And then we're going to alternate. You know, I'm going to have evens and Trevor will have odds. Or no, I'll have odds and Trevor will have evens. And we'll go through the draft order that way and give the final call on each team's draft selection in those top 10. So the Browns are on the clock. No surprise. The recent DeShone Kizer.
Actually, kind of a surprise.
Yes, I get for them to be number one. I agree. Yeah.
Yeah.
Based on where we were at the beginning,
like a dumpster fire.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
Yeah, now there's all kinds of like. Now there's all kinds of like Kizer talk about Hugh like eating him and all the whatever.
It's bad, man. Like it's yeah. And there's I don't know if you saw there was video. I guess that Kizer went out Friday night and was out at bars downtown till. And the video I think it said it was. He was at 1:30 a.m. I think he was out there, but
same.
Yeah, same. You didn't, did you play in an NFL game Sunday or no?
I didn't play,
but you had to work, so
right.
Still some. Anyway, I don't really have a huge. And we won't spend a lot of time on it because I think it's stuff gets overblown. But I don't have a massive issue with it. Do I think that it's the best decision for a rookie who needs to be dedicated, needs to be, you know, I mean, he's got a lot to prove. He just, you know, he just got, you'd think that this would be the most hardest working part of his career. You know what I mean? Like he just got benched, you got given another chance and
right,
you know, get back in there and focus all your efforts on it. You know, I probably wouldn't, as a head coach, I probably wouldn't be pleased to be on. I mean, I'm a high school coach now, so I think about it in that lens too, and I wouldn't be pleased. I'm not ready to throw the baby out with the bathwater though and be like, Kizer doesn't care about this team, blah, blah, blah. But I don't think it was the best decision either. I don't even know that we need to harp on it forever or anything like that, but that does put the Browns in a situation where a quarterback is going to be, it's going to be on the table. I mean, I think it's clearly going to be on the table no matter what Kizer does the rest of the way, unless he's like freaking Joe Montana the rest of the way. I mean, they're looking at a quarterback at the top of the draft. And
I thought about this. I thought about this yesterday. If Kizer, if they're really kind of like not, I don't want to say like not sold on him, but like at this point, you can still move Kizer for a decently high draft pick. So if you're picking number one, like they could move DeShone Kizer,
right?
And they could get some. They could get something pretty good for him. I mean, you can say whatever you want. Always a head case, like because even if you take this at like the bottom of Kizer's value, you can get something for him. So that's very so. And I'm just saying this to the people who think that the Browns wouldn't take a quarterback if they're truly unhappy with Kizer. You can get value for him as a return.
Kizer. Doesn't come off like a head case in any way, shape, or form. Like, and even if you hear him talk about himself growing up, like he's, you know, a studious kid, like a real, you know, just sounds like he's always been a quality kid. So I don't know that I'm overly concerned, but I think you're right. If the issues were to escalate or be worse than we've seen, you know, maybe that option gets explored at some point. But either way, quarterback's going to be on the table. This team's going to look at the position. And right now, we've talked about it at length. I don't know how you feel, but I just don't see any quarterback who I would be gung-ho about taking first overall. I mean, I don't. Sam Darnold, we talked about this last weekend. If he went out and had a rough outing against Notre Dame, which he did clearly, even if the final stat line didn't look horrible, he was not good in that game. You know, that was a massive game for him. That was a game, you saw the list of NFL evaluators there. I mean, like, tons of teams were there looking at him and scouting him for the NFL. And I'm not going to say they're going to take him off their board or crazy things like that. But at the same time, he clearly showed that this is a guy who needs work. He needs time. He needs further development. If you draft him top 10, he's going to play early on because he's going to go to a bad football team that needs him to play early on, and he is not ready to play early on. It's similar to DeShone Kizer, but I didn't think Kizer had any chance to get better or grow in college at that point. I thought that was it with he and Brian Kelly. But Darnold isn't in that position, and I just think that it's I think the long-term outlook of his career, he's got to go back to school. And I think that there's truth to the rumors that he might, because I think he's not a dumb kid. I think he looks at this and says, I can be really special maybe if I refine and fix up a couple things. But there's a big difference between that and another year in college, playing at that level, adjusting to that level, getting confidence, dominating that level, making quicker decisions, making better reads against simple coverages. I mean, you saw him struggle with simple, you know, cover two shells and things like that. And so I think that he has the ability to do all that. But as a redshirt sophomore, it has not happened yet. Let's not force it. I just don't think it's there. But if he comes out, I think he's going to be the number one overall pick if the Browns pick first, because I don't know. I just
should we do this little mock draft thing, like what we think is going to happen, or like what we would do here? Because if it's like what we think might happen, I'm kind of with you. I think that Darnold's gonna go back. That means that it's probably going to be, you know, like it's probably going to be like Rosen, or I don't know, maybe even Rudolph, if people fall in love with him at number one. I don't know. But, like, who I would pick? Lamar Jackson. For the Browns? What do the Browns have on offense right now?
Be a blast with Ian Hugh.
Like, they have nothing. So just pick Lamar Jackson.
I mean,
he's clearly the most impressive quarterback week in and week out. And I think at this point we're just making up excuses for him because we know that NFL evaluators just aren't going to value him the way that they should. Now, do they have certain concerns about them that are somewhat valid? Sure. I mean, like, he's pretty skinny. He's probably going to get hurt in the NFL with that kind of frame. It's not a given that his running ability fully translates to the NFL, even though he's clearly
as good as we have. Yeah, it will.
No, I know, but for how long is my kind of thing? Right. Like we always talk about Mike Vick and everything. But I just wonder, like, for how long that continues, because Mike Vick obviously is pretty rare. Mike Vick had a long career in the NFL, and even as he continued to play in the NFL, and his running ability wasn't near what it was, he became better as a passer. I think Lamar can be all of that, but it's tough. It's just tougher to bet on it when there's only been one case in the NFL, really, where a guy has had that kind of longevity. So I worry about him with durability and injury. I don't really worry about him as a passer nearly as much as the NFL does. And but if we're talking about a number one pick, if I'm the Browns, I take Lamar Jackson. That's who I take.
So let's give him Lamar Jackson with this. This is kind of how I see the quarterback class right now, and I've talked about it, but I don't think Sam Darnold's ready, and I think he should go back to school. So if we're doing this based on what the Browns should do, and what everyone should do in this situation, and what I think Darnold is probably leaning toward at this point, he goes back. Mason Rudolph, don't think he's a first-round type of prospect, in my opinion, at all. Josh Rosen's the wild card. You said you think Rudolph will go first round?
Oh, yeah.
The talk is all that scouts are low on him. Almost every big media person said that. Yeah, that the scouts are low on him, like late day two, early day three low. I would have thought the same thing, because he did a lot of downfield passing at a bigger frame, but his accuracy is really troubling, and his inability to move within the pocket efficiently. So I think there'll be concerns with him. Rosen.
So do they just love Rosen because he goes to UCLA or what?
And I think the acclaim coming out
of high
school.
Do they just not watch the early part of his whatever?
Okay. That's the thing. But Rosen is the wild card in this class to me. We can talk more about that on another show, because I've got a lot to say on Rosen. But
so number two, I mean, like, would Rosen go number two? Because if we're going to talk about it, we're talking about the 49ers now. If Lamar Jackson goes number one,
Yeah, Rose, I mean, Rosen is such two, right? He is a really good fit with Kyle Shanahan. Now, I have questions about what Rosen's ceiling can be because I just don't think he has that great of an arm, but I think that he and Shanahan would be a really good fit together. If they can make it work personality-wise, I could see Rosen thriving in that offense. Rosen is like the weirdest because I think that there's games and throws where I'm just like, I can't, like, no way can I draft this guy top 10, but then I just think he has some other traits that, you know, he does have that quick release and clean mechanics, and there's times when you see him manage the pocket really, really well, and I don't know. He's just really inconsistent right now, and I think Shanny could be a good fit for him. So, yeah, I support your decision to go Rosen number two.
Yeah, Rosen. So two quarterbacks right off the bat.
Yeah.
Three is the Giants.
The Giants are in an interesting situation because they – kind of have their, I mean, they have their quarterback and they have their, what they thought, I think, at least was their quarterback of the future in Davis Webb. We'll see if that actually pans out. They have a good receiving core. They have their tight end. They have defensively most of the pieces that you would want. They have pass rushers. They don't care about linebacker, but I still think their linebackers are better than they have been in years when they are healthy. You could see him go corner or maybe a safety next to Landon Collins, although I think Darian Thompson's played better.
Yeah, but I think Thompson's been good.
I keep coming back to offensive tackle, though, with this team and the offensive line in general and just addressing it. And, you know, I look at the tackle class. I like Connor Williams a lot. I don't know if I love him in this range. I think there's some things to work at. I'm just not really high on the tackle class. Because of that, I go back to guard, to be honest. And I know it's too high for a guard, as a lot of people will say, and it's probably not the best value the Giants can get. But I just think Quentin Nelson is a soul taker. I mean, he is just a beast.
And you want guys like that. Like, I'm kind of... It's taking me a while to realize this, but like tone and like a culture even between units, not just within teams and locker rooms, are definitely a thing.
Oh yeah.
And when you look at an offensive line like the Giants and you say, okay, well, they could use help everywhere. Well, what's the most impactful part of an offensive line? Well, it's the tackles, because they get all the money, all that kinds of stuff. They're on the edge. They face the edge defenders, and that's great. But like, if there's not a tackle in this class that you love, mm-hmm. you pick a guy like Quentin Nelson, because like, even if you were to pick a great tackle, you wouldn't see a total change among the offensive line right away, right? Like, mm-hmm. it would still take, you know, one or two more pieces around him, get free agents, draft picks, maybe over the next year or two to really totally kind of revamp an offensive line. So if that's in your mind anyways, you take the guy that could really change a culture of an offensive line. And I think Quentin Nelson is that kind of guy because yep. he's that good. So,
and they need that. They have to get better running right. the football.
That's what I'm saying. So I'm with yeah. you there if that's what you want to pick for that.
Yeah, I'm going Quentin Nelson. I'm getting that offensive line nasty again. You got the Colts. What can you not pick? That's the better question. The Colts legitimately need just about every position.
Yeah, for real.
Are you going to do it? Or now, are you going to pull the trigger on your boy here?
Now, the Colts could very well go offensive line too.
Yes.
They could also go pass rusher.
Yes.
They could also pair Derwin James with Malik Hooker, which means that I wouldn't even have to do a fantasy draft in Madden for Madden 19. I would just pick the Colts.
Plus Quincy Wilson's there too. You would become a Colts fan.
Did you know that Quincy Wilson has been a healthy scratch for 4 weeks?
What? He played well when he was out there.
Correct.
Oh, the Colts are so bad.
Pagano has literally healthy scratched him for 4 weeks.
For who? Pierre Desir?
Nobody.
Nate Hairston?
And I read a quote like, hey, why are you scratching Quincy Wilson? And he's like, well, you got to earn playing time like Monday through Thursday or something.
Bud.
And it's like, dude, you realize this is your second round pick, right?
Yeah. Oh, it's bad. It's bad. Indy's a train wreck right
now.
So
I'm going to have to, as much as I would love to go safety because that would be a fun combo, you've got to start around the trenches. It's got to be one of the two. It's either got to be a pass rusher or
not going to go running back. Not going to try and pair Barkley with Luck.
For the no, because Marlon Mack.
Marlon Mack's your boy.
Actually good. so I'm going to go with Connor Williams, I think, just because
yeah.
they – I mean, Andrew Luck, I tweeted this like 3 weeks ago, but it low-key might actually be true. Andrew Luck found a way to finesse not having to play for Pagano again and not lose money by holding out.
That's funny.
And then Colin Cowherd, I don't know if you heard this rant that he had about the Colts, and he thinks that Chris Ballard behind the scenes has told Andrew Luck, we're not playing you this year, and like literally like told him that week one of the NFL season.
I don't know why he'd come back and start throwing, but I bet he's told. I wouldn't be surprised if he's told him that now, especially if right. they're out of it. What's when well, there's no point. I mean, for Ballard, so, there's no point. Protect your assets.
So I'm gonna go with. I think the most talented offensive lineman in the class, giving him Connor Williams, because like there's just so many things that they need to get better at, and you have to protect Andrew Luck. That's even more important than a pass rush at this point. I think as much as Colts fans might not want to hear that.
Yeah, I think. I mean, Joe Haig's been absolutely atrocious at right tackle. Costanzo's overrated. They did pay him big money. I don't know if that'll keep him away from a tackle. I don't know. It's gonna be a tough one for them. I would love to go tackle for the next team, the Cincinnati Bengals, but I just can't do that, man. There's just no way. There's just not a tackle that's worthy of that spot, in my opinion. And so, if you look at Cincinnati and you look at what they need, it is offensive line, offensive line, offensive line. I mean, you can't say it enough. There's just no way you can ignore it. So from a needs perspective, you want to go there. And if you look at what they have honestly a lot of other positions short up. You know, they could go linebacker. You know, there's some other weaknesses, but not anything close to what the offensive line, the issues there are. There's also the little question of Andy Dalton and what's going to happen with his future, right? I don't know whether he's the guy for Cincinnati long term, and I don't know whether they would be willing to move on from him. Now, it's probably going to depend on how much Cincinnati's going to be willing to move on from anybody, because they can't do this again with Marvin Lewis, right, man? Like tell me, this is ridiculous. But there's an out of Andy Dalton's contract after this season that leaves them with only a little over $2 million in dead cap. So this is the escape from Andy Dalton that Bengals fans probably desire will happen here. He's a $16 million cap hit if they keep him and if they don't move on from him. So you tell me if he's playing at that level. I don't think there's any chance. So there's that little aspect of quarterback that could happen for Cincinnati as well. I think it's going to be an offensive lineman, though. I don't have any great options at this point in the draft for them. I think that the guy with probably a good ceiling is Mike McGlinchey. I don't think he's put it all together yet, but I think he's the type of player you'd like to bring in and develop and work with in pass protection to make him better. Again, shift to the culture change. You know, I think that their tackles right now are a little bit soft, and I think that McGlinchey would come in and provide physicality right away in the run game, which is something that they desperately need. Maybe he plays on the right side and is better there early on in his career. I don't know. I just think that I don't think he's a finished product. I don't think he's anywhere close to a top 10 value or maybe even a first round value in a vacuum. But if we're looking at need here, Cincinnati, who I don't expect to pick fifth overall at all by the time the draft rolls around. But I think they've got to, you know, we're just drafting this based on need and forgetting about who should go where and things like that. I think they've got to consider tackling with Williams off the board. I think McGlinchey makes the most sense for the Bengals. You've got Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Very true. And to quote Celebrity Jeopardy from Saturday Night Live, pass rusher. Pick any pass rusher at all and you win. It's Harold Landry, Bradley Chubb, Cleveland Farrell. I don't like it. Doesn't just pick one. They could be picking number 6. They could be picking 15. They could be picking 22. It has to be pass rusher. It's
got to be Bradley Chubb.
Unless, you know, like.
Got to be Bradley Chubb,
It's either Bradley Chubb or Cleveland Farrell for me. I kind of like Cleveland Farrell. I'm a little bit of a sucker for him, so I'm going to give him Cleveland Farrell in this little mock draft.
Bradley,
because
Chubb.
I think that just what he has shown for his age, since he started off so young, and he is still so young.
Yeah, he's a redshirt sophomore.
Yeah, I'm kind of blown away by the production that he has had at such a young age, and so I'm going to give them Cleveland Farrell. Obviously Chubb is the better product right now, but just I don't know. I like Cleveland Farrell more just because of his upside. But I like I said, if they pick any of those dudes, it's fine. because there's only one position the Buccaneers can pick.
Oh yeah, 100% agree. And I think that if the Bucs end up picking this high, to me, Bradley Chubb, you're right, Farrell too, are both perfect fits for what they do defensively, and they need they need one of those guys. They got to come out with a pass rusher in this next year's draft. The Ravens are on the clock,
hold on, I got to say this because I saw this stat last night, and it's bugging the crap out of me. They might finish with less than 20 sacks than they did last year with the same exact players.
That's not good.
Same players.
Not good.
Same exact players.
Not ideal. Actually, and they have Baker now, too.
Except they have Chris Baker, and they're going to finish with 20 less sacks.
Sheesh. Ugly. Noah Spence isn't doing what I hoped he would do, and I'm bummed.
Everyone agrees with you.
The Ravens are on the clock, and the best two players in the 2018 potential draft class are both on the board still, in Darius Geis and Saquon Barkley. This team has had a revolving door at running back. They have to get a star at that position in order to take pressure off Joe Flacco. They have other needs, no question. Wide receiver, tight end probably at this point with all the injuries they've had there. Offensive line is a big weakness, but they've got to get a star at running back. Here's the question. Is it Barkley or is it Geis? I think schematically both players really can work. I think they need an all-around dynamic weapon, though. So even though I do think Geis is the better pure runner by a tad, a small fraction of a centimeter that really isn't even worth talking about, I think Baltimore needs a guy that can threaten at all levels of the field, can be a beast, can split out wide, can create mismatch. I mean, they need receiver, they need weapons, they need, you know, all these different things offensively. Get a guy that can give you all those different things. Get somebody like Saquon Barkley. They haven't had an explosive weapon like Saquon Barkley in years in that offense. And so I think he's got to be the pick if he's on the board at 7.
All right.
And I think Baltimore will be picking high. I think they're a bad football team. You're starting to see the losses pile up. I know they have played a very cupcake schedule. I think they're 3-4. But I think Cincinnati's the second best team in the North. And I think you're going to see the Ravens keep sliding if they play tough teams.
So what do the Cardinals need a lot of? Because I've only watched, obviously, one full game of the Cardinals, and it was where they went up 31-0 on the Buccaneers. So I thought, oh, wow, Cardinals, Super Bowl champs. So we all obviously – we thought last year that Bruce Arians was going to try to get Patrick Mahomes or Mitchell Trubisky or something, or even like Deshaun Watson, like that he was going to get his young QB to come up and – take the reins from Carson Palmer sooner rather than later. Do they go this again? I mean, like, obviously, if Darnold comes out and if Darnold is somehow still here by 8, I think he's probably the pick for the Cardinals. But let's say, like, in this draft where he's not coming out, I think defensive line needs a lot of help for them, does it not? And is it interior defensive line? Because if it is, Christian Wilkins is my guy for them.
Yeah, if I think defensive
even
line.
In a 3-4, you can put Christian Wilkins as a nose, as a D end, as a whatever you want. I think he's good enough for that. And I also think that Christian Wilkins is a very Arizona Cardinals kind of player. You know, like you just have these guys, Hassan Reddick and Patrick Peterson and Tyron Matthew and Budda Baker and all this, and now you throw Christian Wilkins into it. This defense is scary. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, that's a good pick if that's who you're going with. I mean, I think Darnold could be an option because he is a good fit. He does make sense. He can sit here. This may be one of the few good chances for him if he goes to a top 10 team. But they also need offensive line help, significant offensive line help. They need another corner opposite Patrick Peterson in the worst way. They need, defensive line help completely because Kim Dichie continues to be a healthy scratch. He's been a massive disappointment there as a first-round pick. So, yeah, all of the above, pretty much. They've also been looking for a tight end for forever, and they can't find one, but that won't happen that early. Lots of needs for Arizona that could be addressed at that point. The Raiders are up at number 9, and this is the easiest pick ever because Darius Geis is on the board. The Raiders have a massive need at running back. Marshawn Lynch really has not been very good since coming back. They need a feature guy. Geis in that offense with Cooper and Crabtree, with Carr, in that offensive line. This is something I'm praying happens because I would love to see him get that type of help at the next level. Darius Geis is the pick going number 9 to Oakland. That one's hard to even. I mean, I know Oakland might have other needs, but come on. I mean,
the only one sense. I could see it not being not being Geis is if they're picking Roquan Smith at linebacker, because they definitely need help at linebacker.
Oh, too. Yeah. Yeah, and Roquan Smith is a guy we didn't even get to mention. And
well, now we did.
Yeah.
There you go.
He could be a guy in the top 10 mix. Bradley Chubb could be a guy in the top 10 mix. Who else? Maurice Hurst from Michigan is another guy that could be in top 10 mix. None of the DBs, we haven't talked about any. I mean, Minka Fitzpatrick, Derwin James, at cornerback, Tarvaris McFadden may be in the mix at this point. Jari Alexander. So there's a lot of needs we didn't even address, but the offensive line issues with like all these top 10 teams are so significant.
Well, that's how it goes, man.
Yeah, I know.
That's how if you aren't good in the trenches, you're picking high in the draft.
Yeah,
that's just how it goes.
It's pretty much
number
true.
10. Your Jets.
Why do you say that they're mine?
QB, right? Has to be.
It's gotta be.
So who's it gonna be in a draft where? Okay, we're obviously through the top 10 now. In this scenario, Darnold has not declared. So that's kind of like where we are. That's okay. The theme of this draft.
Okay.
So, you know, Darnold would be the pick here, number 10. If he is not, though, I think it comes down to two guys. Do you know which two guys I'm going to pick?
It's got to – if you say Josh Allen, or Luke Falk or Mason Rudolph, I'll hang up on this recording right now.
It is none of the three.
Okay, thank God.
It is two other quarterbacks. Can you guess? Or do you want to guess?
Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield is one of them.
And wait, another. If you say Will Greer,
Florida great Will Greer,
get out of here.
It's one of the two. It's gonna be Mayfield though. Mayfield's gonna go top 10 because I think there's obviously plenty of things that Will Greer still at this point, you know, in doing a mock draft, you've really got to put him under the microscope because even at Florida. Will Greer did a lot of fun things. He did a lot of great things. And like, for example, you know, he showed moments where his arm is great. Can have pinpoint accuracy in some not ideal circumstances, but also extremely unconventional at times. Will Greer is, and I think that we could have said the same thing about Baker Mayfield last year, but I think he has even learned to kind of like control his own chaos more and more this year, which is what has made him more impressive even as a quarterback prospect. So Baker Mayfield, if one of them's going top 10, certainly right now, it would be Baker Mayfield. So Mayfield is the pick. But I bring up Will Greer's name to just let the people who listen to this podcast know that, hey, this isn't just a LOL Will Greer every week. He, with all of the other quarterback prospects struggling as much as they are, Will Greer, every time that you are going to see a Will Greer pass that has some NFL touch to it, it's going to tickle the back of your mind and you're going to be thinking. And if you're thinking about it, then people who have been watching him for a while are also probably thinking about it too. So Baker Mayfield's pick for the Jets, but low-key, be on the lookout for Will Greer doing some things.
And I don't know if Cal Krabs is from over at NDT Scouting is paying you to bring up Will Greer's name and drop it on the podcast, but,
but look, man,
even if he is, I think you're right.
I was a Will Greer stan before Kyle was even born.
That's true. So. Will Greer was the great hope for a Florida turnaround since Tebow, and it all went downhill. But I do think that there's some actual legitimacy to Greer as a prospect based on the little bit that I've seen, and I'm really excited to get to more. Do I think he declares early? Probably not. So we've got to have a conversation about this quarterback class. Let's do it tomorrow on the podcast. We got to talk about this class that was so heralded, and everybody said, wait till the 2018 class. And I think the class is in real legitimate trouble. So we're going to have a discussion about it tomorrow. We're going to lay it down for people, what we think of the quarterbacks in this class. If we think there are these, I mean, you've also hear like 50 names brought up as sleepers, guys that could shoot up into the top 100 and be potential starters. And I'm just like, I don't even, like, I've seen little bits of some of these guys. I don't get it. Is it because the top of the class is struggling so much, we just feel the need to elevate these guys? I don't know. But we're going to figure it all out. We're going to discuss it. We're going to sit down and talk about it tomorrow and give you guys a snapshot. A couple things to let you guys know about. Locked On Network, the Locked On Podcast Network, has signed a deal with FanRagSports.com. Yes, I write for FanRagSports. To become like a broadcasting or podcasting network of FanRag Sports. So we are now partners, which is cool for me because both of my worlds kind of collided. And the FanRag Sports will now have and network of 32 NFL team podcasts, and Locked On NFL run by Matt Williamson, which is terrific. You guys should check out. And Locked On NFL Draft by Trevor and I, obviously. So they built out NFL sites for each of those podcasts. So Locked On NFL Draft, and I also do Locked On Steelers, as a lot of you know. They have their own sites now. So if you go to LockedOnNFLDraft.com, you're going to see Trevor and I's podcast popping up there and populating there, along with perhaps NFL draft content too, especially as we get into the season. We're still working out an exact plan with that, but you're going to see a lot of cool stuff. So please, if you can, let people know about Locked On NFL Draft, the website, because it's like a sub-site of FanRag Sports, but all these team podcast sites are going to be going back to FanRag Sports based on the agreement that we signed with them. You're going to see Locked On, the podcast for Locked On Podcast Network. You're going to see those populate as well on FanRag Sports from time to time, especially when something is newsworthy is being discussed and so on and so forth. So really, really, really excited about that agreement, because FanRag Sports is terrific and I've loved working there. So I think that's going to be a huge step in the right direction for both of us in terms of us getting that exposure that FanRag Sports is going to give us, and also the sites that they've built out for us to be able to continue to populate content, but also for FanRag Sports and establishing a podcast network, which is something that a lot of these bigger national sites haven't done yet, and they've been able to do it kind of in one fell swoop with a ton of great hosts on the Locked On Network. We also have a deal continuing with ProFootballFocus.com. If you haven't, go to our iTunes page, leave a review and a rating, and include your Twitter handle. We're picking one winner per show per week for Pro Football Focus's Edge subscription. It's a $40 value. You get player grades. You get all kinds of interesting statistics, fantasy football information, so on and so forth. It is fantastic. I use it all the time, literally on a daily basis. Love the subscription. They also give you a ton of inside college football information, statistics, and their little draft guide, a lot of tidbits on players and that are you just won't get anywhere else. So make sure you guys check that out. Go to our iTunes page, leave a review, and include your Twitter handle, and you could be entered in a chance to win one of those subscriptions. We moved to Panoply. I know we talked about that last week. Moved over to Panoply by Megaphone. If you have any questions, or if you know something isn't working for you, hit us up on Twitter. I am at Ledyard NFL Draft. Let me know that something isn't working for you. You're not getting it populated. I know I think we're up on Stitcher. We're on Google Play. Obviously, iTunes, Podcast Addict. I don't know all the different places people listen to, but we're also on Spotify now. So check us out there. Give us a holler there, and just continue to spread the word about Locked On NFL Draft. We certainly appreciate it. All you guys listening and all your support, which has allowed us to be able to make these moves this year as the podcast continues to grow and move on to bigger and better things. And we're excited that you guys are obviously a massive part of that. And without you, it wouldn't be possible. So thank you. We'll catch you again next time for our quarterback conversation on Locked On NFL Draft.